Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Big Ticket, Variety, and iHeart's movie podcast. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Today, I'm taking a little different spin and focusing on television. My guest this week is Diego Luna, the star of Netflix's Narcos Mexico. Luna plays real-life drug kingpin Felix Gallardo, a leader of the Guadalajara cartel in the 1980s. Narcos is anything but pleasant. It's a look at the dark and very violent rise of Mexico's most notorious drug dealers. In fact, Luna admits it took him months to finally sign on to the show. What finally convinced him to do it? Find out after the break. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. Now here's Narcos Mexico star, Diego Luna.
Hey, sir.
How are you?
I am very good.
Yeah?
Glad to talk to you in this relaxed and comfortable.
I know, right? Right? Not just so a red car. Bye.
I always feel like an idiot when I leave your interviews. I go like, what did I say? So I'm glad we have time now.
Well, my husband and I have watched the entire new season. I think I've told you before, my husband's from Guadalajara. Uh-huh. So, you know, he gives me history lessons.
Okay, and he's from Guadalajara.
He's from Guadalajara, yeah. Yes. He's,
holy crap, yeah. So
he's a little on the younger side.
You're going to say the age?
He's 34.
What? Yeah. Jesus Christ. Oh. So he didn't leave any of these.
I'm going to Guadalajara next Friday, actually. Oscars are over. Go see my 16 nieces and nephews.
Just 16.
Just 16. Oh, it's a small Mexican family, yes. It's such a great season.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I was thinking about it today. Like, Felix is pretty awful. But then there are parts where I'm rooting for him, well, which is really messed up.
I think, you know what happens with this series, with this show, is that we talk about what needs to happen for a character like this to exist.
Right. You know?
So somehow you end up realizing how much he's also a victim of a system, right? Probably this character in a different environment, in a different context, would have been a different man.
Right.
Who knows?
Right.
We can't tell.
Right.
It's definitely not the story of someone that you see doing this behavior from day one.
Right.
You see how history ends up changing him, you know? And what happens, like, well, Mexico happens to be in between those who produce and those who consume.
Right.
And so therefore, obviously, you're going to be caught in between, and there's something that's going to happen that is above you.
Right.
That is not under your control.
Mm.
And I think you end up understanding that with this series, so or with this show. Therefore, there's a chance to sometimes, I wouldn't say empathize with the characters, but at least understand how difficult it is for them to, and how much how much we've heard the story where there's just villains and good people, you know?
Right.
Good people chasing the villain.
Right.
And here is not as simple as that.
No.
And everyone can be blamed for playing both sides.
Right.
And that's what makes it interesting also.
Do you like Felix?
No, but I have to say, you know how I build the character and it's by reading about him, by reading what people said about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard many, many times, you could tell he was seeing something else, something others were not seeing. You know? And so I tried to build a character that would, that would pay respect to all these positions, you know, to all these points of view. I wouldn't say I like him. In fact, I'm really happy not to be shooting, you know, like when we wrap season one, I was relieved. When
Why
we
was
wrap
that?
Season two, because it's very intense. It's very dark material. It is. And I have to kind of justify every decision he makes. As an actor, you cannot judge a character. You have to understand why he's saying it. Mm. And you have to believe that.
But how do you get rid of that judgment? It's so...
Well, but that's our job. That's the beauty of what we do, that we can jump in and pretend to be these people and then step back. And obviously, I now see it from more of the perspective of an audience, you know? Mm. And I have to understand why we're telling the story, why it matters, in order to jump in and execute. But once I'm there, I have to understand why he's doing it, and I need to find truth in that impulse, you know, in that decision, in that choice. So yeah, it's a weird one. I wouldn't know exactly how to describe the process of doing that, but it's a process that it's very challenging and demanding for an actor.
And you never reached out to the real Felix?
No.
Why not?
No. You know what? There is a very long interview he gives that I read, and but then I realized it was more useful for me to read what people said about him. Mm. You know, I think if I ask you who you are, you might say half truth, half not. You know? But if I ask the people around you what stamp you left in their lives, I might understand who you were. You know,
Do you have one question you'd want to ask them?
I mean, many. What really happened? You know,
right?
Because I think we know very little. This has to be a fiction. And we say we fictionalize true events because we don't know the truth. No one actually knows the truth, you know. So many of these characters are still out there, you know.
Right.
And I'm talking about politicians, bankers, mm-hmm. People in the police, in the military. They're still there.
Did you ever get because the
system loves blaming the drug dealers.
Right.
Oh, we got the bad guy.
Yeah.
And you go like, well, but the problem's still out there.
Right.
Like, why we don't fight to bring down the number of consumers?
Right.
It's the market where we need to be fighting.
Right. Because if there's no market for it, you wouldn't have drug dealers.
They'll find another way to make money.
But did you ever think like, okay, I'm going to play Felix, but you know, he knows some really shady people. Like, were you nervous at all? I mean, because those people are still out there.
Obviously a little bit, but I tend to say what I think in mm-hmm. my country, and I try not to let fear stop me from talking about what matters to me and what worries me. I think my country needs citizens that are willing to contribute to mm-hmm. be part of a constant debate that shouldn't stop, at least not until we live in a better place,
mm-hmm.
because we're getting all the violence
for
this issue, you know. But it's a global issue; it's quite unfair.
Right.
You know, no one seems to worry about what's happening in Mexico as if they had something to do. And I go like, well, I really hope we understand that for that line of cocaine that you're having, there's a history behind,
right.
You know, and a history that is affecting so many communities that you're not thinking of. So anyway, but the fear part is like, I don't think so, because first of all, we're telling a story that has been told,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
That like the reaction to this series in to this show in Mexico is very different than anywhere else, because we know,
because
we went through that,
mm-hmm.
and the story is dangerously getting close to today,
right.
You know?
Right.
Like I mean, the earthquake in 1985, the election in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those people are still in power somehow.
Right.
Many of them.
Mm.
So it's I think if you let fear move you, you become useless. So I try not to think about that.
Like you say, you know, the show being seen in Mexico, Mexicans see it in a different way than I think Americans probably do. Do you get nervous that Americans are watching it and just going, see, look at those Mexicans. They're so bad. Look, they're all drug dealers.
I think you understand a little bit the complexity of mm-hmm. the problem and
yep.
how much also the corruption in the States matter for this, you know?
Right.
And how badly we've been told the story, you know?
Right.
I do think it can. I mean, again, it is a TV series. It is a show that is meant to entertain, but that many of us we're doing it for other reasons too, because we do want this story to be out and to be part of the conversation, and not many open the newspaper to find out what's happening.
Right.
So if you can hit them from another angle, I think it's something we have to keep trying. I do think entertainment can sometimes trigger the right conversation
yeah.
and reflection. And I just hope, like, if one of every 10 people watch this show and wanna do a research on what's happening today, that'll be enough.
And I'm a journalist, but that's what I do. I'm watching a show like that and I'm looking up Felix and I'm looking up the president and I'm looking up this character and that character, and they're not characters, they're real people.
Yeah.
And you're just getting educated and you're just like, wow, this stuff really went on.
Uh-huh, and like the story of Salinas, for example, you know, it is like, I remember a journalist telling me like, oh, I thought this was just fiction, but then I went to the internet and I found out this happened in his childhood.
Yeah.
It did happen. And you go like, yes, it happened. And yes, and that guy is there. That guy is still out there, you know? The Secretary of State of his government is now in a very high position of this new government.
Right.
So you go like, it's gonna keep on happening until we say, hey, we understand.
Right.
The system is so well designed that has survived decades and decades.
Do you think it could ever? Do you think Mexico could be that country that's not as corrupt as it is?
I think so. I think yeah. it can. I definitely think it can. It's just that with the inequality we experience, the distance between those who have and those who don't is huge in Mexico.
Right.
And if we keep that, if we keep allowing that to happen.
But that's what the powerful want to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I do think there's solutions. I do think first thing we have to accept is that whatever has been done till today, it hasn't worked. Right? It hasn't worked. So the strategy has to change.
Mm-hmm.
The prohibition just clearly is not the way to go.
Right.
And it's not until we talk about the health issue that we might be able to fix something or to start fixing something. But at least what I like of this is that you and I, we're talking about it in front of a microphone. It's happening. So,
yep.
So even though the series, again, fictionalizes a lot, it's taking us back to our reality that needs to be reflected on.
What did you learn that was real that shocked you?
Oof. I think, you know, the brutality. I would talk much more about what's happening today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think what happens after the end of this season starts to get much more violent and
it's El Chapo.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's when the structure that Felix builds starts to break is when you start to see the worst of this.
What was the plot of the start nightmare. Fighting?
And what? I mean, I don't know if you've seen, for example, Cartel Land. You remember that documentary?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I forget who. Felix ordered the murder of someone, and they don't just shoot you. They shoot you up like crazy. And my husband said to me, he's like, why do they shoot him so many times? I'm like, it's just to prove they're scary. So people see that.
It is because it's always a message.
Right.
And it's always a message for someone else, you know?
Yeah.
It's never just about
the killing.
Yeah, who's being killed is about the message you can send, and that's the way they communicate,
right?
You know, and when it starts being ineffective, they have to find new ways, and they go darker and darker and darker, and they show each other that the one can go further than the other, you know,
right.
And that makes them different. And you go like, it's hardcore violence, you know. That's why also I'm glad to be done, you know, with this season.
Now we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, Luna weighs in on the lack of diversity among this year's Oscar nominees. Even so, he still believes Hollywood is embracing inclusion and more representation. We'll be right back. Here's more of Diego Luna. How did you, you know, after a day of shooting something like this, shooting meaning filming, not guns, how do you go back to, you know, wherever you're staying in a house, a hotel room, how do you decompress? And also what I think about is, you know, you're dealing with, you know, a history in Mexico that's just awful, it's violent, and you step away from it and realize like, oh, we were just doing make-believe, but there are people who are still living like that. Does that make sense?
Completely. That's what is very difficult as a Mexican,
you know,
to be part of this show and to shoot in Mexico and to have to go out of you know, of this reality and experience the real one, you know, because
right.
I do live in that country and it's not, we're not talking about something that passed long ago and
right.
it's solved. We talk about the beginning of a nightmare that we are living now.
You right.
know? And it's crazy. I mean, what happened recently in Culiacán, I don't know if you read about it, but like...
Which one?
I can't remember. The son of El Chapo.
Oh, yeah, 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 of course.
They grabbed
yeah.
him and yes. they had to let him go because
yeah.
they had no control on a whole city. And they saved people by doing that, you know, and you're
right.
like, that's crazy. So what
circular,
it means is
yeah.
crazy, you know, to save lives, the state had to back up, you know, it's
right.
like, wow, that tells you a lot about the country I live in. So yes, getting into the shoes of this character, having to portray him, was demanding, and it's something I'm glad I did, because as an actor it pushed me to
right.
do stuff I've never done, but I'm also really happy it came to me at this time when I'm 40, when I have a family, when I know what life is about, when I know how to disconnect. Also I know how to turn that.
How do you do it? How do you turn it off?
I just go to my kids, you know, and get reminded of what life is about, and I mean, probably at 20 I would be having panic attacks at night. Not anymore. I know this is a job. And even though I dedicate a lot to my job and I give a lot of my time and energy to my job, it's never more important than my life. That's not happening again. You know, that happened already. I went through those years where I sacrificed everything for my job.
Yeah.
Not anymore. So it's the right time for me to be doing something like this, because yes, it would be very difficult to take this as so personal that I would take it home. And no. That's why I said, okay, I'll do it, and I'll you know, I'll join you, because I could see the show. I saw the seasons of, right. of Colombia.
Did it take you a while to convince you to do it?
Well, a while. Yeah. Months, to be honest. Because of that, because I had to understand exactly what the Eric, the showrunner, wanted to say with it. And when I sat down with him and I made the questions and I said, like, what is really what you want people to know, what you want this series to trigger, mm-hmm. why this series is important today, that right. this other thing is happening, right? And he answered the way I would answer, the way I've been answering. And I realized he wanted to talk about the system and not a character, about a system that allows these characters to exist and that keeps using them,
right?
You know, and also the message that the series sends that I also like is that audiences want to be challenged, that audiences care about specificity, yet that you can do a big show that is popular not just in its country. In Spanish, for example, where half of the show or more is in Spanish.
Yeah, more. Definitely more. Yeah.
There's no executive today that can tell me that, because whatever I'm talking about is in Spanish, is not going to work.
Right.
It's not anymore. We've proved wrong.
Right. You know?
We've said, like, look, we're in the fifth season of this show, right? Three of Colombia, two of Mexico.
Right.
It's still in the top five of what people is looking for.
Why do you think that is?
Why? Well, for many reasons, but I think one is because of that. It's a story that has been told, but never with this feeling of authenticity. And I think that the people are reacting to that. The people are saying, like, okay, that's where it happened.
Right.
Like, we're not shooting in East LA and in places around here because we're worried to go and shoot in Mexico.
Right.
Right? We are not doing it in English with a weird accent so people can understand, right? We have Mexicans playing Mexicans.
Right.
We are shooting in the real locations. We are seeing a country, in fact, we have never seen. You know, because it's not the Day of the Dead, it's not Cancun, it's not the times of the revolution and Zapata and Villa.
Right.
It's the Mexico that's there.
I know, my husband points out, he's like, we've been there, you know that, you know, we've been that, on that street.
Exactly. So I think all of that counts, you know. Audiences are, I think today the positive thing about this whole new system of telling stories to people, what the platforms have brought, is a chance for audiences to be more active in what gets done and what doesn't. You know, their reaction matters more than ever,
right.
I think. And we are paying more attention, not just because of the data, but also social media, and they're more present.
Right. I mean, I think in terms of especially what you say about authenticity, is it has to be authentic now, because how do I explain it? We have such access to so much information. Like, someone could just, you know, plug in Guadalajara and you see the authentic Guadalajara. So if you try to present something that's not authentic, the audience is onto you much quicker than they would before.
I also think that today the curiosity has grown.
Right.
What's happening? The world became smaller with the internet.
Right.
And there is this curiosity now that you probably didn't find before.
Right.
You know, and the idea of that, you can learn so much about you by hearing a story that apparently has no connection with
right.
you. And when you go back in history, it's even more interesting, you know, to revisit an event that was told to you in a very simplistic way.
Mm.
And then we go like, no. They told you this right. thing happened this way. But in fact, what happened is this other thing.
Right.
And you go like, what? and that is amazing. That is amazing. That thing that, again, the series are doing is exploring. It's going deeper.
Right.
I mean, you have 10 hours,
right?
Instead of two. So you have 10 hours and you can be much more explicit and much more, you can go deeper basically. And I think you relate to these characters differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see a movie, it's always a movie.
Right, and you're out in 2 hours.
And you're out in 2 hours. And that's why the movie stars are so important, you know,
mm-hmm.
because not necessarily the characters.
Right.
But here you do forget about the actors
mm-hmm.
because you see 10 hours of them like that, you know.
Right.
You don't want to see them again.
Right.
You don't see a series and then you go and buy a cheap magazine to
right.
see what they're doing in their personal life.
Right.
You don't need
yeah.
that shit.
No.
You are in love with the character.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very interesting thing that is happening with a series. And imagine that when you're playing a real role.
Right.
So it's someone you already care about and you're seeing a new interpretation of that. So the actor gets...
Right. That's a good point.
The actor is further from,
right.
from you know, I don't know how to say it, but
no,
I know
what you mean. I know what you mean. What you were saying before, though, proving to Hollywood that you could have a Spanish language film or a series and it works and people want to go see it. But then you look at the Oscars.
And then you look at the Oscars.
And it's one person of color in the actor category. One person the other day tried to convince me that Antonio Banderas was Latino and that he's a person of color. I was like, no, I think it's just Cynthia Erivo.
Yeah.
You know, sure. And I've said this before to people, like, we're living in this time where there's so much content and we're seeing shows like Narcos and we're seeing movies like Harriet or Us or Just Mercy. But then on Sunday, you're going to see the four acting winners, and it's just all white. How does it happen?
I think it's gradually changing.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction is coming,
right?
Because they're just another part of a system. They're not like what makes the. Mm-hmm. You know, the connection between audiences and storytellers is what matters here.
Right.
And if that exists, everything around is going to end up reacting. But it takes time.
Yeah.
Like, I read the amount of people that were invited in Mexico just to the Academy. And it's huge, the list. You know, in a year, they went from very few names to a very long list.
Right.
So they're aware.
Right.
But there's another part of the Academy that is holding to the past. You know,
it's older and it's white.
So I just think we have to be patient and gladly the amazing voices out there are doing this to connect with audiences right. and not to win Oscars. I mean, and if we keep going on the way we're doing the Oscars and everything around us is going to have to change.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the Oscars. I mean, how much time do they talk about cinema of other countries,
mm-hmm.
the media here, or how much they care about the news? Like, even in my country, like, if you open a newspaper, the section where it talks about the world is tiny.
Right.
You know? I mean, but because the people's curiosity it belongs to them.
Mm-hmm.
The day you search for a newspaper that has more information
right.
about the world, the others are gonna react. You know,
right? I see. There's demand.
So we have to worry about what we can do. We storytellers and we audiences. You know,
because I'm
in both sides.
And then you have a Latino star of a Star Wars.
And then you have exactly.
Did you ever think You're growing up in Mexico. I'm going to star in a Star Wars movie, a Star Wars series.
But imagine one thing. Imagine in a hypothetical world that Rogue One came out and no one went to watch it and no Latino went to watch it. I wouldn't be doing a TV series about that same role.
Right.
So audiences were sending a message. You know? When you buy a ticket, you send a message. Yeah. When you click, let's watch this show, you're sending a message. When you ignore something, you're sending a message.
Right.
So we can do a lot. And that's why I was talking positively about what this new world is giving us. And is that tool to make sure our voice gets heard,
right,
you know, as audiences. So I think if we keep doing our work, the whole system will react,
right,
and will adjust to whatever we need, because we have to remember that there's no storytelling without someone listening and right, someone telling a story. So we are the only thing that is actually indispensable.
Right.
Everything else around us can be there or not,
right,
but you need us. Right. So let's get closer and closer, I mean, audiences and storytellers, and let's make sure we build what we need to live in a place where we're hearing the stories we want to hear.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. I could keep going, but I'm not allowed.
Thank you very
this
much.
This was great. Awesome. Thank you. Coming up next week on The Big Ticket, Noah Centineo, the rising star on Netflix To All the Boys franchise, opens up about fame, his sobriety, and playing a superhero. Thanks for listening to this week's Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Want more Hollywood news and scoop? Make sure to check out Variety.com. See you next time.